Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. The SPLA spokesman says no top South Sudan Army general was killed in Kaya.
Not even a junior officer was killed in Kaya, leave alone a general being killed. We thoroughly went through our records for officers' affairs and we discovered that we do not have any officer with the name indicated above.
And the daughter of a former top South Sudan Army official was killed in a fire in Nairobi.
The parents are needed for DNA tests. Those parents who are around here, they have already gone for DNA tests yesterday and today. But we can't go there now to do the DNA test. They are still requesting us to go to do the DNA test, and they send the sample to South Africa, something like that, so that it can be ready.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan Army is denying reports that one of its senior officers was killed 2 weeks ago during fighting with rebels over the control of Kaya, a border post on the South Sudan-Uganda border. A Ugandan newspaper reported that rebels killed a top South Sudan Army officer who was commanding government troops in the area. As Michael Atit reports for VOA from Juba, a South Sudan military spokesman says the army killed scores of rebels and denies any high-ranking government official was killed in the attack.
The New Vision newspaper reported on August 28 that a top South Sudanese army general was killed by rebel forces loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar in Kaya. South Sudan military spokesperson Lul Roy Kwang told reporters in Juba yesterday that no government soldiers were killed during the fighting in Kaya.
Not even a junior officer was killed in Kaya, leave alone a general being killed. And for your information, the force we have in Kaya, according to our organizational structure, does not allow for a general to be based there. We thoroughly went through our records for officers' affairs, and we discovered that we do not have any officer with the name indicated above.
Lul says the officer in charge of the military base in Kaya is still alive and well. He declined to provide his name. A report on New Vision says 6 wounded SPLA soldiers were taken to Arua Hospital for treatment. Lul says that report is also incorrect.
All the SPLA soldiers who were shot and wounded while defending their defensive positions in Kaya were not taken to Uganda for treatment. After we received information indicating that Kaya was attacked, some rebel fighters were killed along with a white person, military helicopter was sent to go and pick the body.
Lul says all soldiers shot or wounded during fighting in Kaya were flown to Juba Military Hospital for treatment. He accused the rebels of intentionally misinforming the public.
They are here to distort facts, and we urge our people not to be relying heavily on what they are saying. We have very credible news outlets here, including the VOA, CGTN, iRadio, Miraya, Monitor and others. These are some of the news agencies that are able to collect correct information.
Lul called on the New Vision newspaper to practice credibility and professional journalism and retract its earlier report. South Sudan in Focus reached out to SPLA IO military spokesperson William Gadget Deng for comment, but he did not answer this phone. The SPLA shot and killed 26-year-old American freelance journalist Christopher Allen when was embedded with the rebel loyal to Riek Machar in Kaya when a battle broke out between government and rebel forces late last month. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Juba.
9 girls died earlier Saturday when a fire destroyed their dormitory at Moi Girls High School in Kenya's capital, Nairobi. 2 daughters of former SPLA Chief of Staff, General Paul Malong, were among the students trapped in the fire. One of Malong's wives, Lucy Ayak, says one of their daughters is still missing. IAC says a team of pathologists and officials from the Kenya government chemist are waiting to get specimens from General Malong and the mother of the missing girl to identify her remains.
Yeah, we are still waiting for General and the mother of the young girl who lost her life in the fire. They are supposed to come today for the DNA test so that the body can be confirmed. But up to now, there is no clear indication that General is going to come with the mother of the dead child.
Have you, as a family, communicated the information to President Kirin Juba about what happened in the family?
Yes. On Saturday, General Malong talked to President Kir about the incident. He informed him about the incident. But now, we are still waiting. We don't know whether he's going to release General or he's not going to release him. Because we cannot be able to identify the body if General is not able to come here with the mother of the child.
The Kenyan authorities are requesting the father and the mother to be present so that they could do a DNA test to identify the body.
Yeah, the parents are needed here. The parents are needed for DNA tests. Those parents who are around here, they have already gone for DNA tests yesterday and today. But we can't go there now to do the DNA test. They are still requesting us to go to do the DNA test, and they send the sample to South Africa, something like that, so that it can be ready within 2 weeks' time. Then when the results are ready, the body is identified, someone can take the body and go and bury.
When did you last speak to General Malong about this issue?
I talked to him even this morning, asking him whether he will be able to come or is not coming. He said that he's still waiting for President to give him a feedback to release him or to refuse not to release him.
The last time I spoke with you, you were telling me that community leaders were continuing with their efforts to convince President Kir to release Malong. Is that still going on?
They have tried. They have read, but nothing has come out. Even my letter, the open letter I've sent to President, he didn't respond to that letter. But now we are hoping that he's going to release General Malong because of this tragedy which has happened. One of my daughters is in the hospital and the other one has lost his life. It's the right time for President now to release my husband to come and do the arraignment needed here. Without him now, we cannot do anything.
Let us get the picture clear. There were two children of General Malong in this school.
Yeah, there were two. The one which lost her life is 16 years old and the other one which is in the hospital is 14 years old. The one which lost her life is the one who woke up a younger sister. Passed the younger sister through the window. And she went back again to wake up the roommate. That is how she lost her life inside. But the sister now is in the hospital.
And what is the condition of the sister?
The sister is okay. She's a bit okay. Though she has sustained an injury, but it's okay. But we did not even inform her that she has lost her sister. Mm. She is still asking that she wants to see her sister. Why can't her sister come and visit her in the hospital? But we are saying that her sister is at home, she will come and visit her.
This is a very difficult time, madam, and we hope that things work out for the family so that both the parents are brought to Nairobi so that they can do the DNA test.
Yeah, this is our hope too. We are still hoping, yeah. We are hoping that President find it in his heart to release General Malong to come and do the necessary arrangement which are needed. This is what we are appealing now, because this is a very hard time for us. Go through. Very sad. This girl just went to school on 28th, 4 days in school and lost her life. Really so sad. We can't even handle it. We can't handle the situation.
That was Lucy Ayak Malong, one of General Paul Malong's wives. She was speaking to me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, earlier today. Imatong state lawmakers representing Magui and Pagiri areas are calling on authorities to remove a known number of heads of cattle destroying crops and farmland. The lawmakers say cattle herders from Jonglei State are harassing farmers and forcibly displacing residents in Magui and Pagiri villages. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
Residents of Pagiri, Magui, and Nimule say there has been a huge influx of cattle invading farmlands in their villages over the past few months. Pagiri village resident Lily Tobias says armed cattle herders grazed their animals on her cassava plantation, forcing her to flee. She says herders suspected of being from Jonglei Estate began arriving in large numbers in July and have settled in Opari, Moli, Mugali, Nyolo and Wiri in Magwi County, displacing thousands of residents of these villages.
Everybody was forced to move away because you cannot be around when seeing cattle being taken in your garden to eat your garden, to eat whatever you have. If you talk, you can be punished or you can lose your life. You go to the garden, you find cattle there with the people, with the owners, with the guns. So you are harassed. If you are not killed, you'll be harassed.
Tobias says the presence of armed cattle keepers in the area has destroyed several crops and could lead to food insecurity in the area.
Some people kept on coming from the camp to come and see what they have still in the garden, because there the food, the ratio given to them was not enough. So they have to come back to collect at least some cassava and sweet potatoes that they have left around. But when you come, you'll find that your garden is already taken over by somebody else.
Magwi farmer Salfa Butrus says the government must do something to prevent more destruction.
The government has the full responsibility to at least readdress the movement of the cattle, because the cattle cannot be left to just graze without being controlled. The cattle belong to those specific group of people.
Imotong lawmakers passed a law last month ordering cattle keepers to stop encroaching on farmland in the state. Carlo Otim, a lawmaker representing Magwi County in the state assembly, says parliament ruled that cattle herders from outside Imotong estate must return home.
The cattle should not be brought where the communities have cultivated their farms for sustainability. The concerned state authority to inform the national government to continue implementing the presidential decree that was issued on the 8th April 2015 on cattle movement in the areas of agricultural production.
That presidential order stated that cattle herders from Jonglei must vacate Imotong estate. Lawmaker Afentore Kenyi, who represents Nimule, says several attempts to drive armed cattle herders from the area have failed in the past, but says farmers will continue to call for the removal of armed cattle keepers from their farms.
So the issue of cattle is not new. All attempts have been made, and we are still continuing. The struggle continues because our livelihood is threatened. Our livelihood is agriculture. If it is sustained, that means that person wants to eradicate us out from the surface of this, because that is the way we earn our living.
Imotong Governor Tobiolo Alberio Oromo says the national government should be directly involved and convince armed cattle herders to return to Jonglei Estate.
This week, I will be visiting Nimule to have a rally with the army and the people who are left in other parts. And then this way, I will now take my report to the Council of State, to the President. So I will be now taking the resolutions of the State Legislative Assembly. We need their full mandate and full support, and they have to participate on how these cattle can be moved to their original state.
In 2015, President Kiir ordered all cattle keepers to leave the areas of the former Equatorial region in order to allow farmers to cultivate and plant crops. Lawmakers and farmers say Mr.'s directives have not been implemented. Pastoralists from Jonglei Estate in search of pasture and water have clashed on several occasions with farmers in villages of East, Central and Western Equatoria. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the Kenyan opposition says it does not respect the new dates for elections. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan. or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how much do you care what others think of you?
I don't really care what people say about me. What matters is how I feel about myself.
I do care, actually a lot, because what you do, of course, doesn't only affect you, it affects also others.
I don't care what others think of me, but what I think of myself, what I can really do.
I so much care about what others think of me, simply because that will make me to adjust to what is expected of me.
Yeah, I don't really care what people actually say about me, because all what I know about myself, I am me, which I will not change for anybody.
I don't really care about what others think about me, because you can't judge a book by its cover.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. In our today's Tuesday health segment, we take a look at health issues in Malawi. In Malawi, a local non-governmental organization called Nacholi Youth Organization is helping communities access medical help from within their municipality. The aim is to reduce long-distance travel to healthcare facilities. But drugs shortages is hampering that effort, as we hear from Lamek Masina in Blantyre.
Until 2013, people in Nacholi township of Blantyre were traveling more than 20 kilometers to the nearest public hospital for free medication. The World Health Organization recommends a healthy facility should be within 5 kilometers of a community. Such a long distance was a burden to people like Enelis Mateu. She says, for example, when one was pregnant, would travel as far as Zingwangwa Clinic at night. But sometimes medical workers there would refer them to Queen Elizabeth Central Hospital for further examination. But now this has changed, thanks to the work of the Nacholi Youth Organization. It is funding a clinic which is benefiting about 60,000 residents of Nacholi and surrounding areas. Edina Lazaro is a resident of Nacholi area. She said she's satisfied with the treatment she gets from the clinic, and this is her third time to visit this clinic. She says she first came with a sick child, then came alone, and this time around, she has also come alone. She says all this time she was getting the help she wanted. Medical workers said most common illnesses treated at the hospital include malaria, diarrhea, acute respiratory infection, and sexually transmitted infections. Dorothy Tenge is a community health nurse at the clinic. She said it mostly faces drug shortages, largely because people from other areas came here for free medication.
Right now, we are running short of all the antibiotics. What we have is a malaria treatment and a few bottles of hypertensive drugs.
Ntenje said efforts to refer the patients to other healthy facilities for medication do not help.
They come back again because in those health facilities, they don't have enough medication. So we advise them to buy, but they don't have the money. So most of the times they just stay in the villages. Then they come back to check if we have medications.
Meanwhile, the Nacholi Youth Organization, which was established in 2004, seeks help from well-wishers. It currently receives funding from two groups based in Canada, the Stephen Lewis Foundation and Family and Friends. It also receives money from Bristol University in the UK and Harvard University in the US. George Ned is the coordinator for the organization. He said the clinic also provides voluntary HIV services to the youths.
For a young person to make a decision, sometimes they always make a decision quite quickly, and you find that maybe the time that they've made a decision, because of the distance, they might be able to change their decision to go for HIV testing. So we wanted to make sure that if they make a decision so quickly, they can actually know their status and make informed decisions.
Besides the health program, Nedi said the organization has other projects in agriculture, education, and entrepreneurship. Ulamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
Kenya's Electoral Commission says a new presidential election is to be held October 17, but opposition leader Raila Odinga has rejected it. He is demanding elections officials to be investigated or fired before a new election is held. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
After Kenya's Supreme Court annulled last month's presidential election results that favored incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta over opposition candidate Raila Odinga by a margin of about 1.4 million votes, the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission announced late Monday the new election will be held October 17th. But Odinga and his opposition coalition said Tuesday they prefer October 24th or 31st. Arguing there must be sufficient time to work out issues with the IEBC that necessitated the need for a new election in the first place.
We are saying that we are not ready to participate in elections on the 17th of October without legal and constitutional guarantees. Because if we not do a mistake twice and expect to get different results.
Odinga said a number of electoral commissioners should be sent home and or prosecuted instead of being permitted to conduct another round of elections.
As far as we are concerned, it is not just not the date, the day. It is the preparation for these elections, which is more important to us, that there must be proper preparations. We must deal with all the irregularities which were committed, beginning with the people who committed them and also rectifying those irregularities.
The IEBC spokesman told VOA a response would be forthcoming. Attempts to reach Kenyatta's spokesman for comment were unsuccessful. The Supreme Court stated in its ruling Friday that the Electoral Commission was responsible for irregularities and illegalities in the transmission of the results, but did not order specific action for the elections officials. Chief Justice David Maraga informed the commission that under the Constitution, it had 60 days from the ruling to organize fresh polls. The full judgment of the court must be released within 21 days of the ruling. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
While in South Africa, the opposition is not giving up on its quest to remove President Jacob Zuma. Today, two separate efforts by two different opposition parties are coming to a head at the Constitutional Court and the Parliament. VOA's Anita Paul reports from Johannesburg with additional reporting from Tuso Khumalo.
President Jacob Zuma's many long simmering corruption scandals have provoked the opposition to call 8 unsuccessful votes of no confidence against him in Parliament, the latest last month. All were handily defeated by the large majority held by Zuma's powerful African National Congress. Tuesday saw two more attempts to bring down Zuma, in the nation's highest court and in Parliament. At the Constitutional Court in Johannesburg, the opposition economic freedom fighters led a bid to persuade the court's 11 justices to rule that South Africa's Parliament failed to properly police Zuma's conduct in connection with his use of some $20 million in public funds for upgrades to his rural homestead. Advocate Timbeka Nkonketobi of the EFF.
So, in summary, what we are asking the court to do is to direct Parliament to consider whether or not the conduct of the president is prima facie impeachable.
The Constitution says Parliament can impeach a president if 2/3 of its members vote to do so, a tall order considering the ANC holds 62% of the seats. Meanwhile, as these arguments continued in Johannesburg, the main opposition Democratic Alliance prepared to argue before Parliament in Cape Town that the entire legislative body should be dissolved to pave a path for early elections. Considering the ANC's strength, neither impeachment or dissolution look likely. And Zuma's time is nearly up. In December, his term ends as head of the ANC, and a new party leader will be chosen, a move that will effectively sideline Zuma before national elections in 2019. But analyst Aubrey Mashikni says the opposition's recent efforts are part of a much longer game.
So what is happening today at the Constitutional Court is part of a broader and multi-pronged strategy by the opposition to undermine the ANC by making sure that the president's image crisis causes enough collateral damage on the image of the ANC for the opposition parties to benefit in 2019.
ANC caucus spokeswoman Nocheba Mhlawuli told VOA the party sees the Democratic Alliance parliamentary motion as frivolous.
It is proving that they are not interested in solving the problems of this country, but instead are trying to destabilize parliament by having a motion in parliament to dissolve parliament in order for them to call for early elections, with the hope that that will result in a coalition government.
She said the party needs to read the Constitutional Court's full judgment on the impeachment case before commenting further. Zuma spokesman did not answer calls seeking the chief executive's feelings on the matter. The president is in China for a summit of the BRICS economic bloc. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The South Sudan Army denies reports that a top officer was killed 2 weeks ago during a shootout with rebels at Kaya. That's a post near the South Sudan-Uganda border. A Uganda newspaper has reported that the rebels killed a senior army officer, but a South Sudan military spokesman said yesterday the army had no top officers even stationed in the area. The New Vision newspaper reported on August 28th that a general was killed by rebel forces. South Sudan military spokesman Lul Roy Kwong told reporters in Juba Monday that no government soldiers were killed there and that the officer in charge of forces based in Kaya is still alive and well. Imitong state lawmakers representing the Magwi and Pajeri areas are urging authorities to remove a number of head of cattle that are destroying crops and farmland. The lawmakers say cattle herders from Jungle Estate have harassed farmers and displaced residents in Magwi and Pajeri villages. Residents there say they've seen a huge influx of cattle invading farmlands in their villages over the past few months and are destroying crops. Pajeri village resident Lily Tobias told VOA that armed cattle herders raised her animals on her Kasva plantation, which forced her to flee. She says herders, who she believes are from Jungle A, began arriving in large numbers in July and have settled in several villages of the county, displacing thousands of people. And finally, several girls died early Saturday when a fire destroyed their dormitory at Moi Girls High School in Kenya's capital, Nairobi. Two daughters of General Paul Malong were among those students trapped in that fire. One of Malong's wives, Lucy Ayak, says one of their daughters is still missing. Ayak told VOA that a team of pathologists and officials from the Kenya government chemist are waiting to get specimens from General Malong and the mother of the girl missing so they can identify her remains. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Okokuru by Kebas and Controller.
The Batman, this team. The CN Records band this song. Controller Kebas on this song. Right, yo. Pick up on the honor. Big to the management. Represent to the fullest. But you could roll on your rhythm. I give you all of my time. Like Dennis Sumaya, the fire Sakaya. You know you model.
We've been listening to Kebas and Controller with the song Okukuru. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. We would like to know what you think about our show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on our Facebook page, South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. What you want.
me what they want. Yeah. Me love your ambition, everything that you want. Baby girl, let me tell you one thing, you know you my girl. Everything me I do, I did best for you, girl. Love and affection, a true man, a touch, and a really connection.